My son's, don't forget, he was one of, he's your pastor. He's one of my students when I was a teacher. I have a younger a son who's a detective, and he did a time study on this book. It was 18,000 hours. I'm not tooting my horn. I want you to learn something. Hosea said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. People don't know anything today. All they know is how many likes they got on their phone from their stupid video they posted a couple of days earlier. That's all they care about. They got 200 pictures in here. You want to learn about Israel? Here's the book. And by the way, it may help you to stay alive. I'll give you a scripture for it if you think I'm kidding. Hello? Remember when Jesus said, you want me to teach you how to pray? Okay, get your notebook out. I'll give you an outline. When you pray, pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven. You know, what do you mean? That's not the Lord's Prayer. How many, you ought to know better. Forgive us our trespasses. How could that be the Lord's Prayer? It's a model for prayer. And it's a Jewish prayer on top of that. Our Father, Father of Israel, Jehovah. Lord's Prayer is in John 17 when he's in the upper room. But even in the outline for prayer, he said, okay, when you pray, pray this way. Ready? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Start out by telling God how powerful and wonderful and glorious he is. Hello. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread. Is that what it says? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now tell me what you want. Anybody deep enough to get that? How do you pray? You just run around and tell God all the stuff you want? Get mad when you don't get what you want when you think you ought to get it, maybe. You might want to brownie him up a little bit. He likes that. Jack Hiles had three daughters and one son. He used to say his girls got 10 times more stuff out of him when they were growing up than the boy did. They want something, you know, 10 bucks for a dress for a party or something. The girls say, Daddy, have you been working out lately? Man, I'm telling you. Your hair starting to grow again, Dad? Oh, by the way, can I get 10 bucks? Sure. Boys never knew to do that. Maybe I'm nuts, but go back to what Jesus said. When you pray, pray this way. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's how you start your prayer time. Tell God how powerful he is, how wonderful he is. It's called praise. Then, the next thing, and here's where this book comes in. You talk about a infomercial. I'm not trying to cheapen the Bible with a try to get a book. I don't need your money. I got a $52,000 Honda Pilot parked right in front of the church that's only 3 months old that I drove out of the parking lot 3 months ago with 6 miles on the odometer. 52 large. You know how much I paid out of my pocket? I didn't pay 52 cents. Lord provided every penny of it. I got wiped out. You remember I drove that broken down. Help me get back to Forest Hall. I feel like I'm a sailor in a life jacket. I'm drifting further from the ship. When you get old, all you got is stories, man. When you're younger, you got to make up a lot of stuff. When you're older, you don't have to make up anything. You just got 1,000 stories. Every time I come into that Wawa down the street, I remember driving in there at 6 a.m. with my Chrysler Town and Country van wrecked by a deer in Pennsylvania. I drove 2 hours, the airbags out, my, you know, things destroyed, home, planes, trains, and automobiles, you know. My son, the policeman, said, he looked at that thing, he said, if you would have been driving that through Virginia and they stopped you, they'd put you in the electric chair. Thing was wrecked. Pulled into that Wawa. And I sold it that night. He gave me the dude's name, some mafia guy. I paid $100, $100. Then the Lord provided $30,000 to me in 15 days to buy a Honda Pilot to replace that mess. And that Honda Pilot just got wiped out in Maryland. No, where was it? Memphis, Tennessee. I was pulling into a church parking lot to preach on a Wednesday night about 6:15. Some wild guy rammed right into the back of it, and airbags blew open on the whole right side of the Pilot. It was dark, 20 degrees, mud everywhere, construction site, and I'm trying to be a good testimony. Do not forget where I was. And help me get back to Eddie Jacobson. Jacobson and then Forrestal, and then we'll start the outline. Praise God. And when I start boring you, you can leave. I got out of my vehicle trying to be a good testimony. I had a track in my hand, and guy looked like a Mexican dude, darker skinned guy, and I walked up to him and tried to, I was mad because my vehicle's wrecked and he hit me, but I was still trying to be nice. And I said, hey man, mucho gusto en conocerle. And that's real fancy Spanish for, gives me great privilege to meet you. Had a Polack Catholic priest teach us that in Catholic high school. That's the only thing I remembered. He said, if you ever meet a Spanish girl, you want to pick her up with a good pickup line, use this. That's what he told us in the classroom. That's the guy that married my wife and I, Father Shelley. Got drunk at our wedding reception, pulled his accordion out, started playing When the Saints Go Marching In, started the conga line. I'm on his hips. My best man's on his hip, my hips. And we're snake dancing all over the Hub restaurant in Dover, Delaware. My wife's Southern Baptist family from Pocomoke, Maryland, a place like that. They go Eastern Star ladies, all that stuff. So I thought he was a Mexican. I said, mucho gusto en conocerle. And he just looked at me like a calf looking at a new gate. And my exact words were, I said, ain't you a Mexican man? He said, no, I'm from Cambodia. I thought Rambo was going to jump out of a bush. Amen. So I got wiped out in that deal. Then about, I don't know. They can't work. That was like late November. They couldn't work on my vehicle till January 1. Can you believe that? And had a black lady there on the scene doing her accident report. I said, I got to preach, lady. She said, well, go ahead, preacher. The pastor came to pick me up. And he said, I was just a block away from where the church was. He said, you go ahead and preach, Rev. And I'll watch the car. And the tow truck came, and I didn't even see the tow truck take it away because I went to preach. I preached for an hour, 45 minutes after I got wiped out. That's the way you're supposed to do the work of God. You know, you don't wimp out. But anyway, back to the next week after my wreck, I'm driving my wife's Chrysler 300. Because I have no transportation. Got to go to Missouri to preach. So she won't let me drive the car by myself. So she comes with me. I mean, she never travels with me. But she just happened to come with me on this trip. We pulled into this church in Missouri. And, first service Sunday morning. Guy walks up to me, as big as Brother Garland. And he hands me a check. He said, the Lord told me I'm supposed to give this to you, my wife and I, to help you get started back on the road again. That's a week later. $15,000. Then crazy Allstate totals me, gives me 20 grand, and then about 8 or 9, 10 preachers sent me another, I don't know, 20-something thousand dollars. I can't even, when it was all over, I had 3,000 more than I needed. Called a church in Ohio, said, hey, man, I don't need this. Said, keep it for gas. You think I'm hard up? I'm not hard. That's 52 grand. See this suit? How many times have you heard me tell you this suit? It's the same suit I wear every time I'm here. $19.95. Doesn't even have a stinking label. Well, that's some generic label. Goodwill store in Los Angeles 3 years ago. The suit I'm going to wear tonight is the gray one, 1995, same Goodwill store. So you think I'm in out for money. That $52,000 vehicle is what gets me all over the joint. I had 6 miles when I pulled out of the parking lot 3 months ago. Go look at the odometer. It's pushing 11,000 already. I'm 70 stinking years old, neighbor. Preacher's wife gave me a haircut yesterday. Glory. Didn't even charge me. God's good how he does stuff to you, brother. Hudson Taylor used to say, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's support. So I'm not trying to sell books to make money. Any widow lady that's here tonight gets a free book every time I'm here. Am I right? That's what all I've always been doing. No wannabes. What's that, Lord? They're a little dead this morning. They need another Italian joke. I just got back. Help me get back to wherever the last place I've got to start getting back. Jacobson, Forrestal. I finished the car, right? What's that? The newest joke. So I'm over there in Montreal 2 weeks ago for a week. What a crazy place that is. We had at least 14 nationalities. 15 maybe. One service. 15 nationalities. Greeks, Italians, Japanese, Africans. All over the place. That's how Montreal, Canada is. Wild. They had two converted gangsters in there. Honest to goodness. I got the pictures on the phone. Two Montreal wise guys. Reputations that big. Selling heroin all over Canada. rough dudes, but they both got saved. Crazy. They're in the church. They love the preacher. Man alive. Get me back to that story, Garland. You got me back in that story? I was preaching down in Florida a couple years ago. A preacher showed me a letter. He's just read it. He said, this is a guy bragging on your book in a prison up in Connecticut. Look. Well, I love Brother Grady's book, Given by Inspiration, blah, blah, blah. This guy corresponds with these prisoners. His name is Bob Militello. He said, you're not going to believe this story, preacher. This guy was a gangster in Staten Island, a mafia dude, for real, connected guy. He got saved, joined this church, broke away from the mob, fell in love with the church, loved the preacher. Everything was going good until a troublemaker started causing some waves in the church, and the preacher made the mistake of making a statement to this effect. Man, I wish that guy would go away. The policeman that arrested him, that put him away for life, married his wife. How do you like those stories? How could you make up stuff like this? Montreal, two gangsters. I got a picture on my phone. If you come by and buy some books at the book table, I'll show you the picture. Yeah, they're messed up this morning. So, and they're both Italians. So I always tell silly Italian jokes, you know, just to hold the attention of the people. But I was extra careful with these guys sitting out there. So I tell this joke, you know, I said, blah, blah, blah. I said, you know, what's a good four-letter Italian word for goodbye? And, you know, everybody thinks ciao. And I may have told this crazy joke before when I've been here. And the punchline is bang. So I told that joke there. Well, the one wise guy tells the preacher, that Dr. Grady's pretty cool, man. And by the way, they came to all the meetings. That's more than some of you may do. And see, I'll take my $2 back from the collection plate. Go ahead. And I said, the one gangster says to the preacher, he said, Dr. Grady's pretty cool. He said, but he got that punchline messed up. He said, it's never bang. It's always a minimum. Bang, bang, or bang, bang, bang. How are you going to get a story like that that's true? That's a true story. The other one's worse. His other buddy, the preacher was trying to teach him about the Old Testament sacrifices. Had a priest cutting up the animals, you know, and the blood splattering on the priest's vestments, you know, and the other guy said, that's why we always use plastic. Eddie Jacobson. So Eddie Jacobson, Truman's having all this pressure applied to him not to endorse Israel, and the pro-Israel people are trying to get him to endorse Israel, right? Well, the rabbis are cussing him out to his face, he said. You know how Jews can be. And he's tired of them, but he's conservative-hearted. Truman called himself a Lightfoot. He was a Baptist, but he called himself a Lightfoot Baptist. He danced, he drank, he played poker, he cussed, and he was a member of the Masons. But he said he read his Bible through about 10, 15 times by the time he was out of his teenage years. And he knew Israel had a place in God's plan in the world. So he's leaning toward Israel big time, right? But everybody's pressuring him, so he finally decides he's not going to talk to anybody. And he wouldn't let anybody come in to lobby with him. You know what I mean? He cut off all access to his office at the White House, right? Well, Chaim Weizmann is the president of Israel. And he and Truman were friends. The president-to-be, the designated president, right? Israel has a president and a prime minister. David Ben-Gurion, you hear his name a lot in history. He was the first prime minister. That's the powerful job. President is token. But Chaim Weizmann was a major figure to help get Israel established. And by the way, that's what this Israel book's all about, the founding of the modern state of Israel. And by the way, I never did even finish the part about it might keep you alive. You let the Lord know you're on his plan, on his page. Give us this day our daily bread. Yeah, before that, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I know what you're doing. I'm pulling for your agenda. I'm with you, Lord. Yeah. That's what God wants to hear you tell him before you tell him what you want. Well, how's that going to keep me alive? I don't know. The Bible could be true. Could it be true? Don't you think? 50-50 chance? Hey, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And you know what the last enemy is, don't you, according to Paul? Why wilt thou die before thy time? God might keep you alive. might hear your prayers more if he knows you give a flip about what he's doing, more than stupid Facebook. So, by the way, Eddie Jacobson is Truman's good pal, and he can come and go through the White House any old time. You know, cause they're friends, right? So one day Jacobson comes in there, cause Chaim Weizmann, the president, wants to see Truman in the worst way. He's way up in years and he's failing in health. And they've been friends again through the preliminary years of knowing one another, but Truman won't even listen to the old man, they call him. He couldn't even pronounce his name. Chaim Weizmann, they call him, that's what they used to call him, Chaim Weizmann. And so Eddie Jacobson comes in to see Truman, right? And they're old pals. And Jacobson, you know, he can't get anywhere with Truman either, so he's leaving the office. And on the way out of his office, Jacobson sees this statue on Harry Truman's desk. It's a statue of Andy Jackson on a horse. Because Truman loved Andy Jackson. Okay. I had the curator of the Truman Library in Independence, Missouri, take that picture for me and mail it to me. Talk about somebody bending over backwards to help someone. And I have seen that statue now in person going through that very museum, and it's Andy Jackson up on a horse, right? And as he went out the office, he looked at it, and he said, by the way, Harry, that's your hero, isn't it, Andy Jackson? And Truman said, well, sure, that's my hero. And then Eddie Jacobson, the Jew, stuck a finger in Truman's face like that, and he said, now, Chaim Weizmann is Israel's Harry Truman. He's to us what Jackson is to you. He's our national hero. Truman, you can read the account in his book. It's too funny. I got it out of Truman's biography. He just looked at him. He had him. Stared at him. Looked at him. And finally he says, okay, you dirty blankety blank, son of a blankety blank. Cussed him out like a blue streak. Said, okay, tell him to come in the back door Tuesday. And they snuck him in a back door. And he was able to prevail upon him to the place where Truman began to weep. Heisman telling him, you're in the providence of God to give us our statehood. I'm telling you, there's more interesting stuff than the dopey garbage on your phone.
Yes, sir.
If you just read the stuff, see? And so, 11 minutes after Israel comes into existence, Truman shocks the world with his press release saying, we're going to be the first nation to recognize the state of Israel. Now, in the meantime, Forrestal, he about blows his mind that this has happened. He went nuts. Well, Truman asked for Forrestal's resignation at this point because he's just too much of a pain in the neck. And let me show you something, how powerful the Word of God is. Genesis 12 says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. Is that what it says? Read the first chapter of my book, How Satan Turned America Against God. Read about 100 examples of every time the United States turned against Israel, some catastrophe hit us. Go look at it. First picture is a picture of President Bush 41 in Kenny Bunkport, Maine mansion, walking through his bedroom after half his mansion was destroyed, while he's over in Spain at the Madrid Peace Conference, putting the pressure on Israel to give up their land. God, he had to come home a day early because something called the perfect storm wiped his house out. The strangest storm in the history of the world. Made a book about it, made a movie about it. And read the other 100 illustrations in that same chapter. That's just chapter one. Forrestal resigns because Truman demanded his resignation. But God wasn't done with Forrestal yet. Anybody ever hear of the USS Forrestal? That was the first super carrier the Navy ever had. Named after Forrestal, the last Secretary of the Navy. Well, man, that thing had nothing but disasters hitting it 24/7. Anybody ever heard of the billion-dollar fire to hit that thing? Senator McCain is sitting on the runway, sitting in the cockpit of a jet when the plane blows up, and they had a billion-dollar fire on the Forrestal. They rebuilt it, and they called it the USS Forest Fire. That was his nickname. There's a black church I preach for in Norfolk, Virginia every year. Matter of fact, that church supports me monthly even. And here's a picture of the pastor right there. That's me in the middle. Here's the top man in the church, Larry Jacobs. He served on the Forrestal in the Navy. He said, Brother Grady, you told that story about the Forrestal. That makes all the sense in the world. We saw nothing but the spookiest, supernatural, crazy things, people getting killed, accidents, electrical fires. On top of this one big fire, I preached out in Arlington, Texas, and Bob Smith's church. And the pastor of that church sat in on a room just like this where I'm teaching about Israel. Pastor sitting in the back of the room. After the service was over, he came up to me and said, Brother Grady, I can't believe what you just said. He said, my brother was a flagman on the Forrestal for 8 years. He wrote the craziest letters to me about all the things he couldn't put his finger on, bad things, negative things, crazy things happening on that ship. It's named after Israel's biggest enemy. Yes. By the way, they finally decommissioned the ship. It's too many weird things. I mean, that's after the billion-dollar fire, and they got it repaired at the price of billions. First supercarrier the Navy ever had. Well, guess what? They decommissioned it, then they decided to donate it. You know, lots of different cities that are on the ocean, they'll have ships for museums, famous ships, you know, and it's a good tourist business. Nobody wanted it. I don't know, the Bible could be true. I'm telling you, if you don't get anything else out of this meeting, at least get that down. The Bible could be true. Amen. Nobody wanted the ship. You know why Italians have short necks? All the time they stand in front of the judge. I never heard of the guy. I know nothing about that. Somebody sent me, get me back to the ending of Forrestal. Somebody, and I'm watching the clock. Somebody sent me a cartoon about the Italian groundhog. Hey, did you see your shadow? He said, I didn't see nothing. I got it on my phone. Help me. So long story short, nobody will take the ship. So guess what they did? They sold it to a scrapyard in Houston, Texas. Guess what the price was? Take a guess. No. Not $1. Thank you. And I think I got the story wrong. I said 1 cent in my book that the Navy paid for it. I mean, the scrapyard purchase. If I stutter, that's my Biden impersonation. If I forget to tell you that. I think I dug it back up again and realized the Navy paid a penny for the scrapyard to take it. But before they destroyed it in Houston, they took the two major anchors off the USS Forrestal. And guess who they gave it to? The USS Harry S. Truman, one of the top ships in the entire Navy right now. Look it up. When those American sailors were kidnapped by those Iranians at hell for a few days, they finally turned them back over to the United States, and they were picked up by the USS Harry S. Truman. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And so, 75 years ago at 6 o'clock tonight, the apple of God's eye came into existence. And morning service coming up right now, we'll have an attempt to honor the mothers here tonight. We'll continue with